Now, the rest of the story. Eugene stood there in horror as he heard the words, "Kill him." "Kill him," the voice said. And the voice meant kill him, Eugene. It was not a sudden, stunning command, rather a repeated droning chant like one might hear at a voodoo ritual. Kill him, kill him, kill him. And as the woman chanted, she was sitting rocking forward and back, a Bible in her lap, her hands lifting, beseeching at the beginning of each phrase, and then falling dramatically at the end. Kill him, kill him. In 18-year-old Eugene's own living room, he was hearing those words from the lips of his own mother. But this is the rest of the story. Eugene Horowitz's mother committed suicide routinely about every 2 weeks. That is, she would kneel down on the kitchen floor and stick her head in the oven and wait to die. She never managed to kill herself, however. There was always a window open and help nearby. And to Eugene, when he was very young, this was normal. This was mother. It was only later that the insanity of Peggy Horowitz became apparent to her son. He could always tell when she was losing it, for she would leave the room and return wearing a nightgown. There was something about that nightgown that triggered or coincided with her abusive spells. Most of the time, Peggy functioned normally, cooking, cleaning, caring for the family, but then suddenly Eugene would look up and there would be Mother standing in her nightgown, and she would begin beating him with a belt sometimes, with a coat hanger sometimes. Often, when Eugene would be out with friends, a taxicab would pull up and screech to a halt, and out would jump his mother, wild-eyed, dressed in her nightgown, brandishing some weapon with which she would proceed to attack her son. Inevitably, Eugene would get in the cab with her, and they would drive home. And only minutes later, sometimes, she'd be completely rational and affectionate, remembering nothing of what had transpired, even talking baby talk. Eugene's father was no help. His parents practically never spoke. In fact, the rest of the family stayed away from the house as much as possible. But then there was that one night when Eugene was 18. He came home to his mother. He told her as gently as he knew how that he was leaving home. Well, Peggy promptly left the room, returned moments later wearing her nightgown, and she rushed toward her son with a large knife. That time, Eugene ran to the phone and called the police. Shortly, an officer arrived and learned the situation and quietly told Mrs. Horowitz that her son was old enough now that she must let him go. And that is when poor, demented Peggy went over to the sofa and sat down with her Bible and began to chant that same chant that would echo in Eugene's ears forever after, a prayer to God to kill her son. Eugene did leave home that night, but all of the years since, he has carried with him the sad memories of a mother in torment and a family in shambles. And I thought the reason that you would be interested to know is that Eugene, even then, was destined to become part of two of the closest and most beloved television families in all entertainment history, the Cartwrights of Bonanza and the Ingalls of Little House on the Prairie. For you see, Eugene Horowitz became Michael Landon. And now you know the rest of the story.